Hey, 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 this is Dr. Lila.
Hello, hello, and this is Marvin.
Here at Making Love Better, we're coming right back at you again on this week. Just as we told you last week, we wanted to come back to continue the conversation.
Yep, we're going to pick that ball right back up about cheating-proof your marriage and making it better. But before we go there, don't you have a class that's coming up as well?
Yes, we have a class. I have a master class that's coming up, and we're going to share more with you about it in this commercial. But before we go to the commercial, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pause and take out the phone, right? You have it near you, but pick it up. Mm-hmm. And I want you to share this link
with
10 individuals. 10. Okay. 10 is also a sign, it symbolizes complete.
Okay, that'll work. Right?
Yeah. So 10 individuals, share with this individual, share with 10 people, Making Love Better podcast as we work to preserve marriage, and not just to preserve them, but to make them better and better.
That is so true. So we're going to start our show today about first prioritizing your marriage.
Yes, and you'll hear more about that right after this commercial break. Hold tight.
Does having sex with your spouse feel like a chore? Are you struggling with feelings of resentment, anger, and frustration? Well, if so, Dr. Lila is looking to help you change that. To sexually engage rightfully, one must understand what God had in mind and what was God's perspective about sex. Dr. Lila is currently working to help individuals break free from engaging in unhealthy sexual intimacy. So join Dr. Lila for a free master's class, Embracing Wholesome Intimacy. To sign up, just call 817-456-4893 or email Dr. Lila at drlilo@makeabettermarriage.com.
Hey, you guys, we're back at you.
All right. We're going to go into our show topic today, prioritizing your marriage. And it's going to fall right in line with what we've been talking about here lately, and that's fair-proofing your marriage.
Yeah, so how do we fair-proof our marriage? So continuing that conversation.
Yes, so when it comes to prioritizing your marriage, that should be on the front burner. Mm-hmm. There should be no negotiation. Well, you know what? I my marriage comes first, my family comes first, and then the overtime and the undertime and all the other kind of time comes next.
Yes, you know, as we think about these protective factors, things that we can put in place to fair-proofing our marriage, it is research founded that one of the biggest threat to marriage is busyness, and one of the biggest threat is lack of prioritizing. Mm. But we also recognize, too, that marriage has laws. I love the way that Jimmy Evans have been able to exegete the text, Genesis 2:28, in the sense that marriage has laws. And the first law of marriage is prioritizing it.
It sure is.
And when we prioritize our marriage, when we make it the most important thing outside of our relationship with God, it can help to ensure that we are putting it first, and we're putting our spouses in the right place and making sure that we're, again, checking in with one another. Because here's the thing. anything that we value, anything that we see in our have in our lives as of great importance, we're going to make sure that we have systems in place to protect it.
That is so true. And when you talk about prioritizing your marriage, you have to bring up the word boundaries. There are certain boundaries that you have to set in your marriage.
For sure. Absolutely. Certain boundaries we have to set, and even boundaries for ourselves, even as a couple, because we all live such busy lives, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we're putting the marital relationship on the calendar.
I heard you mention calendar. So even in this world that we live in, where there's a lot of hustle and bustle and going in and out and working at the office and working with the job and the kids and the household chores, you can get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can get overwhelmed, and you know, and the marriage can be pushed to the back burner. It can be pushed to down the level of priorities. And there's ways that we can make an assessment to see if that's happening to us as a couple. Because I realize that in most cases, especially when it comes to the child rearing stages of our marriage, mm-hmm. the family cycle, yes. When we are raising our children, children are very demanding.
We're not
throwing shade on children at all, but we do understand that most marriages experience the most stress and experience very low satisfaction during the times when we are raising our children, because we have to give to our children. We have to attend to their needs. We have to make sure that we are there for them. And that takes time, that takes effort, and it takes energy.
That is so true. And I know you're talking about how busy that you can get with work and kids, even if you just have a picnic in your bedroom, right?
Well, yeah, that is something, you know, one of the creative ways that we can look to make time for one another, putting ourselves on the calendar. Some couples do what's called date night, and it doesn't have to be anything, you know, that it has to be all extravagant, although there is are times where, you know, sure, extravagant is great. Mm-hmm. Romance is great. But for some people, they don't do certain things because they figure, okay, it's going to take too much in order to do it. But what we are suggesting is that you pull out that calendar, mm-hmm. and you put your marriage on the calendar just as you would put that PTA meeting, as you would that leadership conference, as you would that personal development or your gym appointment. You put your marriage on the calendar so that you and your wife can continue to grow together and connect with one another.
I'm so glad you brought that point out, because you don't want to just put your marriage on the calendar just to say, okay, I got it on the calendar and I keep moving it back this day and this day. You really want to prioritize it the way as you can. Okay, we had this date night set up for this day at this time, and we need to stick with it.
Yes, because the bigger picture is, too, is connectivity. Interesting thing about affairs, most people who engage in affairs, they're not necessarily engaging in affairs to find sexual fulfillment, although that may be a byproduct of it. But the truth of the matter is, people are looking for connectivity. They're lonely. Mm. So when we are not cultivating, we're not putting things in place to make sure that we are connected, mm-hmm. and we're not being pulled apart by life's happenings, it can help to protect the marriage relationship.
That is so true. But let's go a little bit deeper. Let's bring up this cliche about if a man can't find it at home, he's going to go out and look for it.
Yeah, that is for sure a cliche. And I think we talked about it somewhat last time, in the sense that all individuals are looking for affection, they're looking for affirmation, and they're looking for attention. So it could be a flag, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we are not, and when someone doesn't have their needs met, there is a tendency to go look for somewhere where you can have those needs met. So again, as we build these, put in place these protective factors, again, what comes along with that is, again, checking in.
That's
you
it.
Know, having these conversations about the current need, making sure that we are current on one another. We have the update. We have the latest, if you will, downloads.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, too, sometimes inside of that particular saying is the thought that, you know what, if a wife is not taking care of her husband's sexual needs, he goes outside of the marriage relationship, right?
Mm, right. So, it could be a myth, whereas if my wife is not giving it to me at home, then I might go out and get it. But it's really a myth. But I also want to go back to what we used this terminology in the military, and I don't want to change the subject, but it's called preventive maintenance, meaning that when you check out a vehicle, you check the oil, you check the gas, you check the transmission fluid. You do all that every time you use this vehicle, and that'll keep you from having to do major maintenance on the car later. And it's just like in a marriage. You do that maintenance check in your marriage constantly, and that way it will let you know, or you might have some type of indicator that this right over here is low, I need to make attention to this, or something needs to be added here. Check yourself.
Absolutely. I appreciate that analogy. Couldn't have said it any better, that preventive measures, you know, helps us to stay on top of situations from happening. You know, it can give us some warning, can give us some signs, and give us some cues. And, you know, going back to even as we were talking about, you know, one of the sayings about that's pretty prevalent in culture, you know, if a woman is not satisfying her husband at home, you know, he goes out and look. And, you know, and with that particular saying, I've seen places where women have shamed other women. The mistress has shamed of the wife and say things like, well, if you were taking care of him at home, he wouldn't be over here in my bed.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. So the truth of the matter of it is that both parties, the husband and wife, have a responsibility as it relates to communicating whether or not their needs are being met, or if they're feeling love, if they're feeling connected in the marriage or relationship. Now, I'm not suggesting just merely by communicating if that's going to solve a matter, but neither am I suggesting either that it's solely the responsibility of the wife if her husband's sexual needs are not met, in a sense, to keep him at home.
Yes.
And likewise, if her emotional needs are
likewise.
Not met, it doesn't give us permission to stray. It doesn't, you know, give justification for the affair. But the truth of the matter is, yes, he has sexual needs, and so does she. And what Paul speaks about in Hebrew is the fact that we are to meet one another's needs mutually, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doing so can help to protect the marriage relationship, because in marriage, people expect sex. Sex is a way of connecting. The marriage relationship, you know, is this relationship where you as a husband, me as a wife, it's the relationship that gives us permission to engage with one another legally, right? Sexually. No other relationship gives us that as it relates to what's in God's plan for us as it relates to his kingdom.
Yes, because sex is right along the line with intimacy, and every marriage needs intimacy.
Yes.
But also I want to piggyback on what you said about the, you cannot, as a husband and wife, play the blame game.
Yeah.
No one person can take the blame of anything. It's a mutual agreement. It's a mutual way of handling situations.
Yeah. So when when the relationship goes away, both parties have to take responsibility. you know, that we got off track somewhere.
Somewhere.
And, you know, and sometimes people are caught off guard. And they say, well, I had no idea. Right.
It blindsided me, right?
It was blindsided. Mm. And so that could be true as well. But we have to, again, pull apart the situation, the anatomy of the situation as it relates to the affair, and do some investigation to learn what took place so that the relationship is not compromised if you choose to rebuild in such a way ever again. So one protective factor is, you know, being open and being honest with one another.
That's it.
Right? Being open and being honest. You know, so much of the protective factor, you know, has to do with our heart posture. Really being honest about what's going on in our hearts as it relates to how we are viewing our spouse, how we hold them in our hearts. I mean, are we treasuring them? Are we cherishing them?
Yeah.
Or are we trashing them? Ooh, or are we crushing them? Mm. So, again, a protective factor is, again, looking at our heart. What's the heart posture?
And another protective mechanism that we want to talk about today is, what type of influence are you having to come into your marriage? What type of influence are you allowing in your marriage as well?
Yeah, and I think about that in the way that we think about our home, that, you know, having a security system. So that's one factor in itself. Mm. But yeah, too, we have to be smart and be wise in the sense that we don't let any and everybody come in and outside of our home.
We don't.
And then sometimes we would let people inside of our home, but there's some area of the home that's private, more private and more sacred than other areas where, yeah, I may let, you know, the UPS man come in the foyer so I can sign off on the document, if you will. But he's not coming into my living room or my dining room because I don't know him in such a way. So likewise, when we think about the marriage or relationship, we have to be very careful about whom we allow to influence our thinking around our marriage. Whom do we have conversations with about our spouse, right?
Yes, because, I mean, you have influences out there that will draw you like a magnet. Mm. You got influences out there who will try to find out what's going on in your personal space.
Oh, boy.
And you have to set them boundaries up. Say, look, you know what? I'm not going to have that conversation with you. We're not having a conversation about my bedroom. We're not having a conversation about my intimate relationship with my spouse.
Yes, and, you know, and be unashamedly when you set up those guardrails. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have to be nasty, right? It doesn't mean that you have to be angry about it, but you put up, you know, your guardrail.
Those blockers. Right?
Those blockers. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You must have them cemented in you first, right?
Yes.
Be already firm so you can recognize when those breaches, the attempt to breach, is taking place, that you can be alert to the alarms and the signals that may be going out. And, you know, and sometimes these, you know, these attempts are very subtle.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And sometimes they're so subtle that, sure, they can come from individuals that we know, but we also have to be careful that, you know, we don't find ourselves engaging, you know, in a conversation negatively about our spouse, right?
Right.
That we don't find ourselves, you know, engaging about our spouse to an opposite sex unless we are lifting them in a high regard, not in a place where we're complaining about, you know, our spouse.
It's the same way with a security system. You know, sometimes your security alarm will go off. You'll be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to ignore that. It's just a cat or a bird or something.
Yeah.
And then sometimes a system go out and you just hit that override button. You don't want to do that when it comes to your marriage. You don't want to just ignore those alarms going up. You just don't want to hit that override button when it comes to your marriage. You want to be attentive to that.
Yeah, so being alert doesn't mean you have to be hypervigilant, although I know sometimes that do happen with people who have experienced affairs, because with affairs, PTSD is sometimes a reality.
Mm.
But again, being alert, making sure we have systems in place to safeguard. And I know we are coming to an end, but we got to say this before we log off. The best system that you can have in place is to making sure you're in right relationship with God. Yes. Making sure, again, that you are spiritually in alignment.
In alignment. It should line up.
With the Holy Spirit, God as believers. Are you spending time with the Father? Are you spending time, you and your spouse together, praying and connecting, right? And being able to show up honestly.
Because I'm a firm believer, if you spend some time with him, he will show you some stuff. He will show you some stuff that's way behind the milk and the orange, the orange juice and the cheese. He will let you know that, okay, this is what you need to work on.
Absolutely. And when he shines the spotlight on us, he shines the spotlight on our heart, not our spouse's heart. Right. So the more you're in communion with God, we do believe that it is indeed a protective factor. Y'all, we got to go.
We got to go.
So until next time.
Bye-bye.
Make love better.
Make it better.
So until next time, make love better.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. And join forces with us to preserve marriages by sharing this podcast with family and friends. And remember to visit us on our website at makeabettermarriage.com.